And all of those arguments are fine, and all of those conversations can be fine. But what if Christians just lived in such a way that their life was totally reoriented to the kingdom, that it made such a qualitative difference in the way that we actually lived every single day, that we were so filled with meaning and satisfaction and this sense of joy and just life bubbling up from within inside of us, that people just looked at our life and they were like, what is going on with you? What is it in your life that is just making you so okay when everything else is crumbling all around you? What if that was the kind of apologetics that the Christian faith and the church in our country was able to have for the world around us? Wow, you just love the people around you so well. You are just so gentle and kind, even though just you get all the mud thrown at you, right? What is it that enables you to be like that? But the reality is most Christians don't live and don't experience, they're not experiencing the life that Jesus came to give us. And so all we have to give are logical, rational arguments, because we don't actually even ourselves experience the beauty of life that Jesus came to offer. And this isn't a guilt trip, but it's an invitation to say there's so much more. There's so much more that we can lean into. There's so much more that we can press into and experience through the gospel. Not just a hope for the future, but a life and resources and abundance and joy and meaning and satisfaction that are available today. And there's still all the things that get in the way, right? We still have all the brokenness inside and around us and all of the things. It's always going to be, we're in a war zone, right? And so we're always going to have, oh man, misunderstanding, relational conflict, struggles, things that just constantly we're in a battle. We have a real spiritual enemy that's doing everything in his power and is succeeding very well often to distract us or prevent us from genuinely living like all of those things are true that are available to us in the gospel. So how do I actually respond though? Okay, so like how do I actually do that, right? Well, ultimately, I mean, we go back to what Jesus said. That's a good place to start. Jesus said, how do you respond to this good news of the kingdom? He says, repent and believe. And so it's kind of what I've been saying all along here. But this is a complete reorientation of my life around who Jesus is and what he came to do. We could really simplify it and just say, responding to the gospel is me just saying yes to all of it. Yes. It's saying, I'm in. Yes. Yet with every fabric of my being, I am in. I'm done trying to be the king or queen of my own life. I yield to you, your kingdom, your instruction, your ways. I entrust every part of my life to you. Please heal what's broken in me and raise me to walk in newness of life. From this day forward, my yes is on the table. I'm following you. And I want to keep learning. I want to keep discovering. I want to keep growing in what it means to be your disciple, your follower, a citizen of your kingdom. We could pull up that kingdom slide again. Yeah. It's just saying yes, yes to all of it. If you can say yes to all of that, say, yes, I'm in. And you're ready to live like you mean it. You can call yourself a Christian. You are a citizen of God's kingdom. You're a child of God. You're safe in his love. Your life will never be the same. And it's not going to be floating on clouds and rainbows every day. I was talking last night with some guys. As I was looking at this, I wasn't even sure if I was going to mention this, but it's interesting when you look up the process of becoming a citizen of another country, or even the process of if you come from another country and you come and you want to become a citizen of the United States even, when you do that, you have to, like, people have to swear an oath. I don't know how many people have done this here. You have to swear an oath to become a citizen just of our country. For not even the kingdom of heaven, right? It's like you have to denounce your loyalty to every other nation and prince and king. And you have to say, if the law requires, if you're called to, you need to be willing to take up arms to defend America. If they call your number, you need to be ready to show up and put your life on the line. That's what people have to do, that just to become a citizen of the United States of America. But we want to say, oh, you want to be a Christian? Just pray this prayer and Jesus will forgive you of your sins. You'll go to heaven when you die and you don't have to do anything. There's like zero requirement. There's just no strings attached, right? It's just totally free. And you don't have to do anything. And we celebrate that and we say, oh, that's grace. And we say that like it's a really beautiful, good thing. Like, isn't it great that, you know, we're going to talk about grace next week, by the way. So we're going to talk more about that. But really, we kind of make a mockery of God's grace when we do that. We say yes to all of it. Now, I got another quote from Dallas Willard. Sometimes I feel like I put too much text on the screen, but I read this. When I read this quote, the book got so hot, I had to like drop it. It like caught on fire, okay? It was one of those moments for me. I was like, you. Okay, Dallas Willard. Someone will say, can I not be saved? Right, without all of this, can I be saved without discipleship? Can I be saved with just a prayer and forgiveness and go to heaven when I die? Dallas Willard, man, he says, maybe. Perhaps you can. God's goodness is so great. I'm sure he'll let you in if he can find any basis at all to do so. But you might wish to think about what your life amounts to before you die, about what kind of person you're becoming, and about whether you really would be comfortable for eternity in the presence of one whose company you've not found especially desirable for the few hours and days of your earthly existence. He's like, you think you want to spend eternity with God, but you don't want to spend 10 minutes in prayer, 10 minutes reading your Bible? You don't want to, like, do anything related to your faith? You don't want to invest any effort or energy or devotion into this message, like, hardly at all during your life? But you think you want to go and spend eternity in his presence? Is that the faith that's going to save you? Dallas Willard says, maybe. That's not the vibe we get when we read scripture. That's not the vibe we get when we look at Jesus' proclamation of the gospel, Jesus' invitation to follow him. So what does it mean to respond to the gospel? It means I say yes to all of it. And now the fun begins, right? And that's what we're going to keep talking about. This is a lifelong journey. Understanding it all, grasping it all, learning to live in light of all of those things that are true. It's a process, right? Everything doesn't just change and become great on day one. It's a journey of walking with Jesus. But it starts with a big yes. So, I'm not going to invite anyone to pray a prayer or raise your hand or come up here or anything like that. But as I close this in prayer, if there's anyone in here who is like, okay, yeah, that is not the gospel I responded to. But you're like, but I'm in. This is just the best opportunity to say like, okay, knowing what I know now, yes. And if it is your first time hearing this and making that decision, just come and tell me. Come and tell me that you did. And I want to be an encouragement to you as you move forward. And that's the point of this whole series, is to just keep taking our next step of orienting our lives around the gospel, around who Jesus is, what he's done, and the life he's actually invited us into. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning again, and we're just so grateful for your incredible love, your mercy toward us, coming and doing what you did. None of us deserved it. Our rebellion, our sin, our rejection of you, you would have every right entirely to just completely start over and not include any single one of us in your kingdom, in your family, in your plan. But we're grateful that you didn't do that. We're grateful that you came, you emptied yourself, you took on the form of a servant, you bore the full weight of our rebellion and sin, and you laid down your own life in our place as the payment for our rebellion against you and your kingdom and your lordship. And then you just opened your arms and you invited us in through the door that you opened with your life and your resurrection. So Lord, I just pray for us as people, as individual families, and as a body, as your church collectively, as we seek to keep taking our next step of reorienting our lives around who you are and what you really came to do and what you call us to. Would you just keep showing us our next step, the next little course correction we need to make, revealing those things in our lives that we allow to take little thrones in our hearts? Things that we look to for meaning or satisfaction or significance or safety, whether those be non-material things or actual physical things or money or jobs or success or status or approval, whatever those things may be. Would you just keep teaching us how to find what we need in you? The only place we can get it, the only one who can truly give it, living water, bread of life, abundant life. Would you transform us into the kind of people who embody and exude that life, that new creation life that makes a difference in the world around us? That we would be the light in this community, among our neighbors, among our coworkers, the light that you've identified us and called us to be. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.